Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show.
This is as big a risk as you can take. No head coaching experience.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What's up, Mark?
I want to talk about our new Dallas Cowboy coach.
I'm really good with X's and O's, but I'm great with people.
I think he deserves a shot because,
Today's guests, 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame inductee, CeCe Sabathia, Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid, NFL Network insider, Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, the Friday before we go to New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. We're going to be emanating from the Big Easy starting next Wednesday. We'll be all over the Super Bowl next week, and obviously we're always got football on the brain here. And in that respect, guess what? Our guest in the middle of this program is none other than Andy Reid, because, I don't know.
How sweet.
To quote our friend who is the diehard Cowboy fan.
God, it made me laugh so
hard. We know why Andy Reid's on this program.
He's
funny. Going for a three-peat. Next week in New Orleans, the first ever three-peat attempt in the history of this Super Bowl. Unbelievable, man.
Has the three-peat gotten to, Matt Stafford, Clayton Kershaw, Jerome Bettis, Detroit levels yet? Hey, did you know there's a three-peat?
I get it, but I said it was the number one story going into the season. It was the number one story throughout the season, and it's still the number one story because the Chiefs won the AFC again.
Yeah.
With 15 regular season wins and two home wins, they were the one seed despite the Bills beating them in the regular season, and so Andy Reid's going to join us as he gets set to head off to New Orleans on, I imagine, Creed say they're going Sunday? They're going Sunday or they're going Monday? We'll ask Andy Reid. They're going to be there to try and three-peat, and Andy's quite familiar with the franchise he's going against, the Philadelphia Eagles. Our first guest is a Hall of Famer already, as Andy Reid will be one day. CeCe Sabathia will join us. And it's amazing that CeCe Sabathia makes the Baseball Hall of Fame just as New York becomes a Mets town. And it's really sad for him when he joins us on this program. Diehard Raider fan as well. We'll be looking at the new hire of the Raiders and Tom Brady in the front office with a guy who grew up in Vallejo, California, right across the bay from San Francisco. So CeCe Sabathia will join us. And I'll ask him if he thinks the Yankees are a better team without Juan Soto, because it sure looks it. It sure looks like they spent the money that they would have spent on Soto in ways that makes them a better team. So we'll see.
I don't know how you lose a top four player in the game and be better.
Okay, well,
that's a nice spin by you.
It's not a spin. It's not a spin. So we're going to see what CeCe has to say about that. And then Tom Pelissero will join us from the Senior Bowl. Brandon Graham might be back for the Super Bowl.
I saw that yesterday.
He had his practice window opened up.
Right.
So we'll talk about, I guess, the one major piece of injury news that can affect the Super Bowl. Because as you, Chris Brockman.
He
no.
greatly affected a Super Bowl that I was the only one I've ever been to. So
Michigan,
that was cool.
Michigan on Michigan violence. Brandon Graham on Tom Brady back in the day. So as BG goes for his second ring, if he can get out there. So that's coming up on the program. Chris Brockman in his spot.
Rich, what's up?
Good to see you, Jason Feller. How are you?
What's up, Rich? I'm great.
Have you ever gotten a gig in this business? How long have you been doing what you've been doing?
I think about 15 years.
And this is your side gig?
Yeah.
Okay, well, pretty much. Oh, well.
These days.
But anyway, you've been doing this 15 years. Have you ever gotten a gig because another guy was doing gymnastics for the first time?
I don't believe so.
Okay, congratulations.
Thanks.
I think Mike's setting up for the UCLA gymnastics competition tomorrow at Pauley Pavilion. That's why he's not here today.
Any of the events.
I heard that pommel horse.
Did you catch that one?
I didn't know that. I had no clue where you're going with that.
Yeah. That's what he said. He's never worked the faders for an uneven parallel bar, but we'll find out how that sounds. Because that's this weekend. TJ Jefferson, good to see you, sir. How are you, bud?
Ever tell you about the time I met Andy Reid at a Kenny Chesney concert?
Did you really?
Yeah. I told him I was a Cowboys fan while he was still the Eagles coach.
And
he went to shake my hand. I'm like, I gotta let you know I'm a Cowboys fan. He growled at me. He went,
did he really?
And then we shook hands.
But you still shook hands.
And
anyway,
I was like, this guy's amazing. I love him.
He's a giant. He's way bigger than you think he is.
Yeah.
First time
he growled at me, Rich.
First time I ever interviewed Andy Reid in person was in Jacksonville, Florida, when the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles finally broke through to make a Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, going for their second in a row, and Andy showed up at the our set on NFL Network. I don't know if he knew it was on camera or he didn't care if it was on camera. Because he showed up in a Hawaiian shirt.
Always.
And
seems like his
and shorts. Know. And always. So the very, very, very pale stems were showing. And first time I ever interviewed Big Red. And Mooch wasn't part of our staff yet.
Oh.
So yeah.
That was a long time ago.
It was 2004. The calendar year 2005, just at the very top.
Time.
And, you know, pretty amazing, man, that he's the coach who lost that game and is going for a three-peat for the first time in the history of the NFL. As a matter of fact, you know, he lost that Super Bowl, and then he split his next two. He was under 500 as a Super Bowl head coach, and now he's above 500. And you want to talk legacy, he would be 4-2 in Super Bowls if he wins this one, these three in a row. And if not, he's 500. And then just a mediocre Super Bowl coach.
Right.
In certain parts, that's how it'll be. Can't win the big one. What is he, just 500 in these games? Oh, he's made six. You know what I mean? So that's the first time I ever met Andy Reid. And obviously, Mahomes changed lives. On our Instagram feed, we popped up yesterday. Since today is, in fact, the 7-year anniversary of Kelsey showing up on the set lamenting the trade of Alex Smith to make room for Mahomes. And it's great to see that video of him talking about it from our set, just seeing a much younger Travis Kelsey. And, you know, Mahomes is the guy that we're all looking at. And of all the stats that I've got here in front of me, you know, Mahomes, we were talking yesterday, I think the legacy game that gets played every now and then when Super Bowls roll around, that obviously this is the guy whose legacy is most affected by a win, with all due respect to anyone Philadelphia, when you're talking about three-peat and the way that he's going about his business, winning Super Bowl MVPs while they are winning Super Bowls. If he wins the MVP in this one, he joins Shaquille O'Neal and Michael Jordan as the only players to win a championship MVP in three straight seasons in any North American sport. This is where he's putting himself on the pantheon. And you take a look at this game and you're wondering about difference makers. Who can make the difference? Certainly when this is the first matchup in Super Bowl history since Bills Cowboys in the 90s to be a rematch in 2 years after the first. So this is first time since Bills Cowboys in the early 90s that you're seeing two Super Bowls of the same matchup in 3 years. And you take a look at the other Super Bowl between these two 2 years ago. And, you know, a difference maker that night was going to look like it was Jalen Hurts throwing for 300 yards and being the leading rusher of the Eagles, taking a 10-point lead into halftime. Unfortunately, though, out of all the Mahomes stats that I'm seeing here in front of me as I lead to the potential difference maker in this game, this is the one that just jumps out at you with Patrick Mahomes. That you, when this guy trails by 10 or more points, he is virtually unbeatable in the postseason. I've never seen anything quite like it. Of course, I can't find it now that I've actually had it here in front of me. I truly have 19 million. Here it is. He's won three Super Bowls. We know this, right? In which his team is trailed by 10 or more points. That's the most all time. All other quarterbacks in NFL history have four such wins combined. Wow. In his playoff career, when the Chiefs have trailed by seven or more points, this guy's 9-2. No other quarterback to start 10 or more such games since 1950 has a winning record in these regards. When we talk about other notables when trailing by seven or more points in the playoffs, Peyton Manning, 3-9. Again, remember, Mahomes is 9-2. 3-9. Montana, 4-6. Elway, 6-7. Tom Brady, 10-11. He's under 500. Mahomes is 9-2 in such games. So even with Jalen Hurts coming up with the game of his life, Mahomes came back and won it. And yeah, you could take a look at the penalty that caused the Eagles to not get a chance to answer whatever the Chiefs were doing in a tie game at 35-35 when Juju Smith-Schuster had his jersey tugged. You know, obviously that's the one that leaps out as the big difference maker. But when you look back at the play-by-play of this game, and you talk about possible difference makers, you take a look back at this. The Chiefs were down, as I mentioned, 24-14 at half. They get the ball to start the second half, and they score a touchdown. The Eagles have a long drive, 17 plays, and settle for a field goal. The Chiefs respond with another touchdown to take a one-point lead. But this is the one. The Eagles get the ball back, three and out. Pass it three times, three incompletions. Chiefs get the ball back, score another touchdown. The Eagles respond with a tie. We all know. Then comes the holding penalty. Field goal, end of game. Chiefs win the first of two in a row, and they can go for a three-peat against the same team, except for the fact, I ask you, if the same situation happens where the Chiefs come back and take a lead, after being 10 down and the Eagles get the ball back, do they throw it three straight times or do they have Saquon Barkley in their backfield? I think we know the answer to it. And that's why this guy is the biggest, in my estimation, difference maker in this Super Bowl. Anytime the Eagles this year have had any troubles, there's 26. Oh, and there goes 26. Anytime they might have some issues in the passing game, there goes 26. Anytime they might have issues in the red zone, there goes 26 from the other side of the field through the red zone into the end zone. Or down to the one-yard line, and here comes the tush push.
Well, that happens a lot.
Right? So that's what the Eagles have going for them this time around. They didn't have the last time. Jalen Hurts was the leading rusher in last time around in the Super Bowl. They did. The Eagles have a Penn State running back in their backfield. Miles Sanders had seven carries for 16 yards. And they're going against a Kansas City defense that is third in the league in stopping the run. they've got Saquon Barkley to get through it. They've got this guy to get them through any problems that they might have against this rushing defense. And he's ready for the moment. He sounds real chill about it, too, headed. Saquon Barkley.
Didn't get the single season. We have an opportunity to get that. But the only thing that makes it special, whether we got the rushing record during the season or if we get the rushing all-time rushing record and playoffs included, only thing that makes it special is winning the Super Bowl. And that's kind of just the profession that we're in, the sport that we're in. There's a lot of great things that we accomplished so far up to this. But if you don't get the job done, you know, next Sunday, maybe when you're in your 30s and 40s and you look back on it, you're going to think about how special it was. But it's kind of, you know, it's kind of going to make it feel everything like it came up short. So all those things are important. All those things are cool. And we'll love to accomplish that. But the most important thing is winning the Super Bowl, because you do that, it just makes everything else you accomplish even more special.
Yeah. That's the guy. Now, you could say, oh, Rich, the Chiefs are different too. And they are. Marquez Valdez, Scantling, Sky Moore, and Kadarius Toney were the last time they took on the Eagles as the wide receivers, along with Juju Smith-Schuster, as we mentioned. He's back. The other three, Scantling, Valdez-Scantling, Moore, and Toney, replaced by Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins. A little better. A little better, although I know who scored touchdowns in that Super Bowl. But D-Hop lurks as a possible difference maker, although we haven't seen much from him. But Saquon's the answer to this question. And the way through, potentially, for the Philadelphia Eagles. Because this team has been so special on offense in a way that didn't rely on Jalen Hurts to have to put on a cape like he did two Super Bowls ago. He doesn't have to put on a cape this time. He's got more as he goes for the big time championship trophy. I can't wait to see it. We'll take a break. CC Sabathia is going to join us. We also have Andy Reid on the program. We also do have Tom Pelissero. We have a what's more likely. We have a top five list based on how I think. Here's my top five later on, and I wouldn't miss it if I were you. The top five Pro Bowl events that I believe I could excel at against the actual Pro Bowlers.
Now we're talking.
What?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Have you seen some of these events last night?
I could take some of these guys out, and I think they know it too.
Well, okay. You know what? I'm going to...
How dare
deserve
you?
Judgment until I hear this.
How dare you? How dare you? After some of them, you might go, you know what, Rich,
okay,
you're right.
You might sway me. I'm not swayed now, but you might sway me.
Okay. Let's take a break. CC Sabathia is going to join us next.
CC.
A Hall of Famer going to be joining us. We'll talk Raiders. We'll talk Super Bowl. We'll talk Hall of Fame. And we'll talk about the Mets owning New York and see what he has to say about all of that.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show, the Friday before Super Bowl week. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Now, taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you're a first-time filer or didn't file with TurboTax last year. That's right. Just do your own taxes in the TurboTax app by February 18th. Had a few jobs last year? It's free. Have a lot of forms? Yep, still free. Have a bunch of new invisible crypto coins? Heads up, it's still free. Convinced you saw Bigfoot, even if your friends don't believe you? That has absolutely nothing to do with taxes, but you better believe it's still absolutely free. Just download and do your own taxes in the TurboTax app by February 18th. all tax forms, all 100% free. Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in-app by February 18th. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game, or as you can tell, right around these times, an entire season. So you gotta be on your game. Science proves quality sleep can help you boost your reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. So why not do it for yourself? I do it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It is just 10 numbers apart, but being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out or for recovery, it's a game changer. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Limited time. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. One last stat to throw out at you. The Chiefs faced four players in 2024 who finished in the top 10 in rushing yards. Saquon, as we all know, is top number one. He's going to be the fifth. They didn't do very well against the Chiefs. You want to guess out of the four who had the biggest day against them? Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, Chuba Hubbard, Bucky Irving. Who had the best day against the Chiefs?
I'm the randomly say Chuba.
That's what I was going to say, too.
You guys are correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, if you remember, they needed Mahomes to kind of pull the bacon out of
that's
the fire.
Right. I had Chuba in fantasy this year. That's why
he also had
that
Bucky,
was my first
too.
Thought. Yeah.
He had 58 yards. That was the best.
What?
He scored late, though, right?
He averaged 81 late. Against everyone 58? Else. That's it. Derrick Henry had 46 on opening night. He averaged 117 against everyone else. Bijan had 31 in week three. He finished third in the league in rushing. And he averaged 89 against everyone else. And Bucky Irving had 24 against him. And he averaged 68.6 yards against everyone else. The team with the second best yards per carry giving up to running backs, meaning the fewest given up behind Baltimore, was Kansas City. Saquon did torch Baltimore, though. He could be just the absolute difference maker, man, when it all comes down to it. As he has been. Unreal. The Giants just let him walk. I mean, I'm sorry. I got to keep saying it. I really, really do.
You're right to.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's go to Patrick in Balmer, Maryland. What's up, Patrick? First in, first up.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Rich.
Good morning or afternoon.
Hello.
What's going on?
I got two quick things. One, I called in a few months ago and did win-loss with my beloved New York football Giants.
Hold on a minute. Let me get this out. I have the piece of paper here. I have the book because I'm a professional. I have everything here. Hold on a minute. You did the win-loss. This is a long time ago if you did this last summer. Patrick in Baltimore, you had them going 4-13.
Oh, okay. My memory was off. I thought I got it correct, and they were, I predicted 3-14. Okay.
No,
so
you,
one off.
You did have them beating the Vikings to start the season and then lose all the way to week 9 when you beat the Commanders. Well, then you had them beating the Saints and the Buccaneers. And
okay.
Yeah.
But I do remember the one thing I said was that after they would lose to the Panthers in Germany, that's when they would bench Jones. I got that right.
Did you say it? Well, you did get that right. You did get that right. They did lose to the Panthers in Germany, and then that was it for Jones. Then they cut him. They basically let him walk. Everyone forgets he was on Minnesota, standing there. Did you see him every now and then?
Out.
You just catch a glimpse of Daniel Jones just
like, oh, right.
Standing back there like Forrest Gump, you know, with the grainy video and all that stuff.
Just like looking around. Like,
Jenny.
You know? So, yeah, man. You pretty much nailed it. I don't know who you want as your quarterback. It could be Cam Ward. You know, could be.
I would be happy with either one, to be honest.
Okay, very good. Okay.
And then the other thing I wanted to get your opinion on, because out of the major four sports, the NFL is the only one that I believe that changed the name of their championship. And even though, like, the NBA had a merger and MLB and NHL had pretty big expansion periods in a short amount of time, I find it interesting that people kind of brush aside the team accomplishments before the Super Bowl era. And I bring it up specifically with Lombardi's three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the three-peat this year would be far more impressive. It's more teams in the league, salary cap era, free agency. But I just find it interesting that with as big of a celebration as the NFL did a couple of years ago that you worked on doing for the 100th anniversary,
yes,
that some people are just like, well, that Packers three-peat, it doesn't even really count. I just, like, it counts. It's not as impressive as if the Chiefs would do it, but, like, it still happened, and it,
yeah,
and even
yeah,
the Super Bowl ring for Super Bowl two, it has three diamonds across.
No, I guess, you know, I understand that, and you know, they did win three in a row, and it's just, I guess we're talking about the Super Bowl era. We've never seen, you know, a three-peat in that regard, and I appreciate the history lesson, Patrick. Thank you. That's Patrick in Baltimore here on the program. And in advance of Andy Reid joining us, the Chiefs are the first team to reach the championship game. See how we're using that phrase now? Now that Patrick has reminded us. It's been the Super Bowl since 1966, an NFL championship prior to that. The Chiefs are the first team to reach the championship game five times in a six-season span since the Giants in 1958 through 63. When they played in the NFL championship game five times and lost every one of them. Could you imagine if there was a WFAN back then? In New York City, long-time listeners, yikes. First-time callers.
Yikes, yikes. Yeah.
You know, calling up. And by the way, you know, if I'm not mistaken, who the coordinators on that team were, Lombardi and Tom Landry.
Wow.
Yeah. History lessons here as we search for CC. Seth, there you go. Nice. Seth in Richmond, Virginia, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Seth?
Hey, how's it going, Rich?
What's going on, sir?
Well, I'm just looking at the state of the AFC. I'm seeing all these teams like, you know, the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Chargers on the come up, Texans on the come up. And I think that if the Chiefs win this Super Bowl, we might see the AFC go on a run like we saw the NFC do back in the 80s and late 80s, early 90s when they won, I think, 12 straight Super Bowls. So I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, I mean, to be honest, Seth, I mean, we talked about it on Overreaction Monday, the pod, or it's still out there for everyone to listen to. The first item for Chris to bring up to me was that Josh Allen should get traded to the NFC so he can make it to the Super Bowl, you know? And
yeah.
And it's Mahomes is just as dominant as they come. And that's why I mentioned if he wins the MVP of this Super Bowl, he joins Shaquille O'Neal and Jordan as a guy to win, and thanks to the call, Seth, to win an MVP in a championship game three straight years in any North American sport. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing some dominance here, that's for sure. But the Eagles do have a heck of a team that can just derail this thing in four quarters. Joining us now is a baseball Hall of Famer and one of my favorite Yankees to watch in his tenure there. Ladies and gentlemen, CC Sabathia here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, CC.
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I mean, we could talk about the most important thing here, which is what do you think of your Raiders, CC? What do you think?
Oh, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm glad we got Pete Carroll. You know, I'm excited. You know, hopefully we can draft a quarterback and turn this thing around.
So, I mean, I guess you're a fan since your days of being born in Vallejo. Is that your Raider fandom, CC?
Yeah, you know, growing up in the Bay, you know, it was either the Raiders or the Niners, and my dad was a Raider fan, and he grew up an Oakland Raider fan, and they went to L.A., so I grew up an L.A. Raider fan, and then they came back to Oakland when I was about 14 or 15, And yeah, you know, now they're in Vegas, and as long as they got the silver and black on, I'll always be a Raider fan.
So did your dad bring you to the Black Hole when you were like four or something like that? I'm trying to
He would take me down to LA, so we would always go tailgate. So we would leave like on Saturday night, and he would drive through the night, and I just remember waking up at the Coliseum and tailgates, and it kind of started my fandom. And yeah, I mean, I take my boys to Vegas. But when my oldest is 21 now, but when he was a little guy, we would tailgate in Oakland all the time. So it's a family thing, man. I hate to say unfortunately, but it's a family thing. It runs deep.
Well, CC, just to bring New York sports into it, you could be a Jet or a Giant fan, and But I mean, Tom Brady being in ownership now, right? I mean, I don't know if you've met Tom or have a relationship with him in any way, shape, or form, but...
No, I've got a chance to meet him. But, I mean, just him, you know, having a chance to, you know, and they say that he's taking over, you know, football operations. So I think we're heading in the right direction. I mean, you know, you can only go up from where we've been. And, you know, we've done a pretty good job. I feel like the defense is good. You know, Brock Bowers had an amazing year last year. It's just if we can get somebody with consistent quarterback play, I think the team would be all right.
Well, there's no question, right? And I do love the Carroll hiring. And I'm not just saying that because you're zooming in here. Because you need somebody who can install a culture, certainly when you're churning through coaches, and install a way of doing things. And also, whenever he's asked about message for Raiders fans, he's kind of challenging people to say, fill up the stadium here in a town where everybody's coming in, you know, seeing a show, maybe getting a good meal in, sitting down at a blackjack table while they're seeing their team as the road team in the stadium and go hang out, you know?
You know what's crazy is that if you go to a game early in the season, it's full of Raider fans. But as the season goes along and,
right,
you know, they're 3-whatever, then it turns into the other fans, you know, coming into town, like you said, to go hang out in Vegas and watch a show, which I guess is good for the stadium because it'll always be packed. But it's not good. It's not so great for Raider fans, or I'm sure for the players later in the season when it's, you know, 70-30, you know, the opposing team to the Raider fans. But if you go early in the season, I always go early in the season. I always go before October, and you know, I catch it when it's a good amount of Raider fans in there.
CeCe Sabathia here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, obviously I was being facetious saying the Raiders are the most important thing in this conversation, but congratulations to you and your family and everybody that's been part of your journey since you were a kid. Now that you've had a week to sort of have this soak in, what does go through your mind now that you know you're going to Cooperstown, CeCe?
Yeah. And no, it's been a good week. It's been you know, amazing to have a chance to sit back and, you know, reflect with everybody. You know, I got a chance to talk to Carl Willis after, we had just playing phone tag for so many days. Just trying to get a chance to call everybody back and, you know, all the text and but it's cool. I had a chance to spend, you know, a couple days up in Cooperstown to go as a Hall of Famer and walk through the plaque hall and get a chance to sign my plaque. I mean, it's super special to me. It's something that I never, you know, strived for while I was pitching. I always just wanted to win games and try to win a championship. But now that, you know, my career is over and having a chance to go into the Hall of Fame, you know, first ballot, I understand what that means as a baseball player, how hard it is to get into the baseball hall. So I'm just excited as a fan and, you know, just blessed and honored as a player.
Well, I mean, obviously it's amazing to see. So you've seen your plaque. It's already created. It's already up there. Is that?
No, just where the plaque is going to go. So you get a chance to sign, like, you know, they show you your spot and, you know, we get a chance to sign where
your real
where
estate.
The plaque's going to go. So
your future real estate. So your signature will be underneath your plaque forevermore is basically what you're saying. I love it. That's like putting your initials in the concrete in front of a new home, right? Like that's going to be out there in front of...
Or like the guy that buried the Big Poppy jersey in the new Yankee Stadium.
Well, this one's a little bit better. Good luck, I imagine, or at least more well-intentioned for you. So walking around, though, and seeing other plaques of other people, knowing that you're now part, which one hit you when you saw that?
The ones that hit me are Bob Gibson, you know, Ferguson Jenkins, Satchel Paige, You know, just having a chance to see those other, you know, African-American pitchers, those other black pitchers that paved the way for me. And, you know, my family and my dad was a huge baseball fan. He was a coach before I was, you know, born. My grandfather was a huge, huge Bob Gibson fan. So, you know, to go in the Hall of Fame and have the same amount of wins as Bob Gibson, you know, be the third lefty to have 3,000 strikeouts, like all these different things, you know, coming from Vallejo, California, it just seems impossible. So, you know, and, you know, Pedro said this, you know, a couple of years ago, it's like, you know, just me going into the Hall of Fame, I think if kids can see somebody like me going into the Hall, you know, I feel like if I can make it, then, you know, really anybody can.
Yeah, look at you. There you are, just looking around. That's so cool. It's so cool. I mean, you're just taking it in.
It is cool because I'm such a fan. Like, I'm a sports fan. I'm a fan of football. I'm a fan of basketball. Huge fan of baseball. And I always thought, like, when I retired, that I would get away from baseball and I wouldn't be, you know, around the game. But we're a baseball family. My wife's an agent. You know, my kids play the game. Our family is just so ingrained into the game of baseball that this is just the ultimate, you know, icing on the cake for not only my career, but just for my family. You know, my family was there throughout my whole career. I had kids young. You know, my wife was there to support me my whole time. So, you know, this is as much as of theirs as it is mine.
Do you think you're the end of an era where complete games happened and the style of pitching that you had? And, you know, I mean, I'm taking a look at just your first year as a Yankee in the playoffs, and you pitched into the seventh inning in every postseason game. Couple, you actually gave eight complete. I mean, you just don't see that anymore. Do you think this?
No, but I think it's, you know, it'll be Scherzer, you know, Kershaw, Verlander, you know, Greinke is that kind of, you know, I'm in that class too. But that's, yeah, I think that's, you know, the last of a dying breed. And I think, you know, reevaluating who the next class of pitchers are that are going into the Hall of Fame, because I don't think they'll have numbers, you know, that Justin Verlander have. I don't think they'll have numbers like Clayton Kershaw. I think you'll see, you know, guys that if they pitch a long time, they'll have 150 wins and 3,000 strikeouts just because of where the game is and, you know, the way that, you know, teams don't value pitchers having wins. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see, you know, after that kind of class, you know, Verlander, Kershaw, Scherzer, after those guys go in, who's the next wave of starting pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, take a look at your brief tenure with the Brewers after a deadline trade pickup, 11 wins, 7 complete games in that tenure before the Yankees came and got you. And before we get to the Yankees, do you got a favorite Bob Uecker story that you can pass along to a family-friendly audience, CC Sabathia?
Yeah, no, I mean, Uke was just always great. I mean, we always, you know, always spent a lot of time with him. He would always sit with me before my starts. You know, so, you know, before, you know, when the team was out, you know, taking BP, I would take BP early and I would come in and I would sit in the food room. I would get like a chicken sandwich and Uke would come down and he would sit when we would talk and we tell stories. And I was pitching on 3 days rest. So it got to be, you know, it got to be a lot. And by the end, and I remember just the last day of the season, he came down. And we were sitting there, it was a day game. And we were sitting there and he was like, you know, we're going to do this every time. You know, as long as we keep going, you know, I'll keep coming down and hanging out with you. So it was always just cool to have a chance to spend time with him and, you know, hear his stories and, you know, talk about Hollywood. And he loved fishing. I was fishing at the time. So, you know, we spent a lot of time together on my start days.
So he would talk to you. What do you mean about Hollywood? What would he
just like the movies, you know, just you know, being in Major League and, you know, I always had a lot of questions. Obviously, you know, I was a kid growing up in the 80s and 90s. That was a huge baseball movie for me. So, you know, him being, you know, really the voice of that was kind of cool. And then, you know, having a chance to sit with him. And I think it was just special for both me and him, for him to sit with me on my start days. I was going out and, you know, I was pitching pretty well. I was cooking at the time. So, you know, it made for some fun, you know, banter back and forth before I went out to pitch.
A few minutes left with CC Sabathia, Hall of Famer. In football, you don't go in as somebody with a team, but in baseball, are you going in as a Yankee, CC?
Yeah. I mean, I am. You know, it was, you know, the longest place I played, you know, I had a chance to win a championship here. You know, I live here. This is where I chose to, you know, raise my family. I've been here now 16 years. So, you know, the Bronx was the place where I found a home, and it was great to pitch in the pinstripes, and excited to go in the hall with that Yankee hat on.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. Have you spoken with them about having a day, anything this upcoming season, anything like that?
Nothing yet. We haven't talked about anything. I'll throw out the first pitch. I just got a memo today. I'm gonna throw out the first pitch before the first game of the year. So Okay. Opening day, I'll throw out the first pitch, and then I'll be there for. We have a big homecoming dinner where all the fans come back a night, so I'll be able to, you know, celebrate with them that night, but. You know, nothing formal yet as a day, Yankee Stadium, hopefully.
So the first pitch of the 2025 Yankee season will be thrown by CeCe Sabathia, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it won't be thrown very hard, though.
No, I mean, what do you think? What can you dial it up to for
I got nothing left, man. After that, you know, the way I finished with that shoulder injury, all I have is enough to just throw BP to the boys. My boys, I throw BP to.
Okay.
But trying to dial it up, I got nothing left, which is good because I was still trying to be coming out of the bullpen right now.
Well, I'll take any innings you can deliver. And it's also a very important season for the Yankees, CeCe, because I don't know if you're aware, but when Juan Soto went to the Mets, he called New York a Mets town, CeCe.
You know what's crazy about, I always say this about this town, is that the real fans in New York, because it's easy to be a Yankee fan, right? Because the Yankees win all the time. And it's always easy to just fly a Yankee banner. But the real, like, gritty fans of New York are the Mets and the Jets. Like, the Mets and the Jets fans, if you sign up for that every single year and you still put on a Mets hat or you still put on the Jets colors, like, you're a true fan. It's the same thing with me with the Raiders. Like, I know what I'm signing up for every fall, right?
Yeah.
But I'm still in silver and black, and I feel for the Mets fans, and I feel for the Jets fans. So I understand, you know, where Soto was coming from when he said that this is a Mets town, because the real, real fans of this town, you know, have to, you know, if you're signing up for that every year, you got to be a real fan. You got to love your team.
So one of my guys here, TJ Jefferson, say hello to CeCe Sabathia with his
Matt Hammond. There we go, real fan.
CeCe, first of all, congratulations on the career. And
don't butter him up. He just basically said, you're a real fan because you keep getting kicked in the balls and come back. That's what you said.
This man has been so salty about losing Juan Soto, like a lot of Yankees fans, and it's gone to his head, and every day he just can't accept the fact that his team got Spurn. He's like a Spurn lover. You got to, next time you see him, ask him about his prom night on the Staten Island Ferry.
How dare you?
CC, we're going to clip this. I'm going to put it on a loop. It's going to play forever.
Get out of here. Wow. Never. No, but let me ask you, CC. But you know, obviously Soto is very talented, and he's going to, I would imagine, share the same room as you one day in upstate New York. But that said, taking the money instead of him getting it, signing Max Fried, bringing in Bellinger, who I believe, I don't know if his dad there preceded you, but bringing in Cody Bellinger, bringing in Goldschmidt, bringing in all of these relievers and spreading it out like that, I'm thinking the Yankees might actually be a better team.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was incredible what Soto did last year. And obviously him hitting in front of Judge, I mean, it was, you know, kind of both of their best years. It was incredible. It was like watching, you know, a throwback of you know, two of the best hitters ever to play the game. But, you know, I think what the Yankees needed, you know, after watching that World Series against the Dodgers and then watching what the Dodgers did this offseason, they needed a lot more. They needed a lot more free agents. They needed to bring in a lot more depth, and I'm glad they got Goldschmidt. I'm excited to see Bellinger in that stadium. You know, so I definitely think it was money well spent. I mean, it would have been great to have Soto back because of what, you know, you just saw him do in 24. But the Yankees were well short of, you know, having a chance to beat the Dodgers in the World Series. So it's good that they were able to get a little deeper.
Yeah, can't blame him anyway. It's a Mets town, last I heard.
The Mets town.
He's hurt, CC. He's hurt.
Like Juan Soto, suddenly Mad Dog Russo and Francesa combined. Amazing. He's been there for less than a year, and he calls it a Mets town.
Yes.
CeCe,
Rich don't even live in New York.
This guy.
Come on.
Okay.
He don't even live there. Come on.
CeCe, I'm sorry to drag you down to our level. listen, it's great to see you. Congratulations on everything. And look for more of my calls. I'd love to get your thoughts on the Raiders every now and then, for sure.
Let's really do it. I would love to come on in the fall, for sure. I mean, later it gets in the season, the more angry I'll be. But if you catch me early, we'll have some good combo.
Thank you very much. Congrats again, CeCe.
Thank you.
That's CeCe Sabathia, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a break and get a news update on the Infinity Sports Network side of things from Dexter Henry.
Whether you're ordering wings for the game, whipping up a 7-layer dip, or ordering pizza, there's something about football that makes you want to eat. And this football season, Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. No matter what you're craving, from 2-for-1 pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats will be dropping new deals each week, all season long. Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome to the jungle, clones. It's the Jim Rome Show podcast.
The greatest and loyal fan base ever. You, the clones. It all starts with the jungle. We're in it to win it, and I'm in it to go as hard as I possibly can every day to make sure that you clones get the best possible product every single day. Day one, all in, let's freaking go.
The Jim Rome Show. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
My friend, my longtime friend, my diehard Chiefs friend, a man who has told me so many times, I would love to come to the Super Bowl and hang with you, but I will not until the Chiefs make it. And the Chiefs have made it. And Eric Stonestreet is here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Where the Chiefs fans at? There they are.
There they are.
I will tell you this, yes. Chiefs fans. Football fans, Brett Veach was on Patrick Mahomes from the very beginning, and Brett Veach told me this year that we would take a picture with the Lamar Hunt Trophy in the locker room of Arrowhead, and we did that, and he said that from the beginning multiple times.
So now that is what we call an insider. An insider report.
That's an insider.
No, but I've known you for a long time. If I'm not mistaken, you are a mixture of ecstatic excitement.
Yeah.
And profound nervousness right now.
Yeah, I call it measured. I am measured. I am a volcano of emotions inside.
Yes, right now. I can see right now, yeah. Like you are.
You know, because I don't like to get the cart, you know, before the horses type of sure. guy. I know the 49ers are a good team. I also know we're a good team. I love that about the Super Bowl. It's a great matchup. We each have things we have to do to win the ball game. We have to stop their run, and Patrick Mahomes has to be Patrick Mahomes. There's no doubt about it.
And in terms of being Patrick Mahomes, you are particularly tight with some offensive linemen on this team.
Yeah.
That we've had so many analysts come on and sit in this chair this week, Eric, and say the offensive line for the Chiefs versus this defensive line of the 49ers, that is the matchup of Super Bowl 54.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what these guys are thinking as they go into this game, because they know it too.
They're professional athletes. They welcome the challenge. I know that for a fact. And I know this is their moment and this is their time. And every single weight they've lifted, every single drop of sweat they've shed, every single drop of blood they've dripped is for this moment right now. And I don't have to tell them that. They know that. Mitchell Schwartz is ready for Bosa. Fisher's ready for D Ford. Wherever they line up, we're ready for them.
It is just amazing seeing, you know, this moment for you, knowing how much it means to you that you're actually here at a Super Bowl. This is actually happening.
I couldn't believe it. Going down there on the field after that and high-fiving those guys and them, and just the fact that Veach told me, you're going to come down on the sidelines and you're going to go in the locker room and you're going to kiss the Lamar Hunt Trophy with me. And that happening, and he said, brother, the next trophy we're going to kiss is the Vinny. We kiss the Lamar, let's get the Vinny.
Kiss the Vinny.
Kiss the Vinny.
I like that.
Isn't that great?
We should make like a bumper sticker out of
that. Kiss the Vinny. And this is, I'm rocking this right now for Andy.
You've got the, like the Hawaiian shirt.
I went to the mall before I left LA and I said, you know what? I got to represent Andy in the best way I can. And I couldn't think of a better way than to rock a Hawaiian shirt to Miami.
Eric Stonestreet, ladies and gentlemen, going to be back in New Orleans again. That was the first Super Bowl that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs made. It's amazing when you hear him say Super Bowl 54. I'm like, oh, it's now Super Bowl 59. Andy Reid's going to join us in 10 minutes' time. The number of active Chiefs players with previous Super Bowl appearances. Five of the 33 active Chiefs players with Super Bowl experience. Unbelievable. Played in all of these Super Bowls. Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, Chris Jones, James Winchester, the long snapper, and the kicker, Harrison Butker. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, all one big happy family. Uber Eats wants to let you know that if you're ordering wings for the game, whipping up a seven-layer dip, or ordering pizza, there is something about football that makes you want to eat. And this football season, Uber Eats has had the best deals on game day food no matter what you're craving. From two-for-one pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats has been dropping new deals each week all season long. Uber Eats, the official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now for game day. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 844-204-RICH, the number to dial here on the program. I'm not a spurned lover, sir, when it comes to Juan Soto.
Whoa, I'm just saying, it seems like it.
I am not. Remember I said I was disappointed, I was upset, and I just needed to see what the Yankees were going to do otherwise.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased what they've done otherwise. I actually do think they're better. I think Goldschmidt's an upgrade over Rizzo. I think Bellinger is an upgrade over Verdugo, for sure. I mean, obviously, he's not. No one's an upgrade over Juan Soto. And let's see what the rest of it looks like before the season begins. And the Max Fried after Garrett Cole, before Rodon and Heal. That's a quartet I would take into the season. We're all just living in the Dodgers world, as you know, as they just keep on adding people from all over the globe to come in here and not be paid what their value is in real time. That's so they don't have to pay a luxury tax of significance. I mean, they're way over. They're what, their payroll's like $500 million. They don't care. What do
so
they care?
If that's the case, why shouldn't the Yankees and Mets be united? You know, you're trying to divide
like the
us even further.
Like the
you
Steagles?
Know what I mean?
Steagles.
You know what I mean?
The Yets? Is that what we're going to call them? The Mankeys?
The Mankeys.
Is that what we need to do in order to beat the Dodgers? Just combine forces? Is that what you're saying?
Dodgers are at $304 million right now.
But why would you say, in quotes, pal, in quotes, at $304 million?
That's still an insane number.
I know, but the Yankees are over $300 million, and I think, or the Phillies also?
No, only the Dodgers are over $300 right now. Phillies, 280, Mets, 275, Yankees, 274.
Help us, we're poor.
Compared to the Dodgers, you are. We all are.
But we're not, though.
Well.
I'm just happy to finally be rooting for a small market team, that's all.
That's,
here you go.
Hey, man, Andy Reid's coming up on this program. That's your...
158, the poor Boston Red
what
Sox.
What is going on?
We have the worst ownership in the sport.
In the sport, I would push back on that.
All right, a little aggressive, but they're terrible.
Hey, Chris, I've been wanting to read you this. I was going to take credit for this, but I'm not going to. Somebody tweeted this out about the Yankees-Mets, and he wrote, if the Mets had missed out on Soto and got a 30-year-old declining pitcher, a 30-year-old declining
who's
outfielder.
Who's declining pitcher?
I'm just reading this tweet.
Let him finish. I don't care. Whoever this person is, I don't care.
A 30-year-old declining outfielder, a reliever via trade, a 37-year-old first baseman, and a 35-year-old reliever who's never been good. There would be talks of it being the worst offseason pivot in Major League Baseball history, but because of Yankees bias, it's apparently the best.
That's who's just this person?
Just a tweet I saw.
Oh, but so just some random who hit send with their thumb, and now that you just read
it got
Rich Eisen Show property. Listen,
is he wrong?
Is that how you decry? I asked Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich.
30-year-old pitcher, describe Max Fried as how? How? What?
I'm just telling you. What does
this Jaime Uncle say? Who's this person?
I don't know what that
Yuts.
Means.
But who's the Yuts?
He said,
what is it?
If the Mets missed out on Soto and got a 30-year-old declining pitcher,
thank you.
30-year-old declining outfielder.
Chris Brockman.
I don't think Max Fried
is Max
declining.
Fried, would you describe Max Fried as declining?
I would not.
Thank you.
Look, I didn't say it. I'm just reading
his name. Cody Bellinger. He's declining as well?
I would say probably.
Declining? Probably. Well, he's not the NL MVP anymore, correct?
That's true.
Is he better? Is he better? Can he play first? Can he play center? Can he take some mileage off of Judge? Let him hang in right field? Can he do that? Is he better than Verdugo? I mean, hell yes.
Fried had 3.2 ERA last year.
Yeah, that's declining, Chris. So let's read more tweets of people I don't know.
Nobody cares about him.
Exactly. I saw Tim Olyphant at the Clippers game as well.
Oh, nice.
I did. Let me ask you this question.
Robin, I'm just reading the tweets. I want to get your opinion on what he's
saying. I agree with you.
In terms of how Tim Olyphant looked, would you say he's declining or not?
Not declining.
Not declining. Reclining, inclining, whatever. This guy.
That's funny.
Look, man, I'm just reading tweets. That's all I'm doing.
Thank you.
I'm here for reading tweets.
Oh, because if there's any website or site that is chock full of things that you really need to know from randoms, it's X.
Yeah.
Thank you for that,
you're
TJ.
Welcome. My pleasure.
Care.
I'm here all week.
Actor Michael Rosenbaum, he knows some of the most talented people in the business, and now he's getting the inside story.
Let's get inside of Heather Graham.
I can't look at, like, Boogie Nights and think that you were a nerd.
Johnny Knoxville.
You think you're going to do another Jackass movie? What do your kids want?
Dad's not going to do that. Yeah. You got to be careful how you choose your heroes.
Hear from some of the most fascinating people in pop culture today.
Danny Trejo.
You're a legend. Do you know you're a legend?
You can't be a legend having this much fun.
The Inside of You podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.